closer look now at some serious changes that really have been a generation in coming. Long ago, you could say that about the most reliable crop you could grow was tobacco, and that good times or bad times, people would remain addicted to cigarette smoking, and that demand for tobacco would remain strong. Well, that's begun to change after at least a generation of lawsuits and anti-smoking campaigns by the government, by private sectors, by lawsuits which had the tobacco industry paying billions out to states and local governments. And it's had an impact on farmers now in places where tobacco's been grown for hundreds of years. Kellyanne Perkins joins us now. She's been farming tobacco for 35 years, but she won't be putting in a crop this month. Kelly, why?
Well, we found out about 2 weeks after we sold our last crop this year in February that we would no longer have a contract with Philip Morris.
So Philip Morris basically canceled your contract to grow tobacco.
Yes. And without any, we kind of understand how the economy is and that a lot of places downsize, but this came without any, warning. We would have, a little bit of heads up. We could have maybe made some other plans or started regrouping last year, but, to find out that way was pretty devastating.
Well, before we talk about how Philip Morris has actually treated you and your family, Kellyanne Perkins, let's get a sense for whether this is just a blip or a real industry trend. Jane Starnes joins us. She works at the Center for Tobacco Grower Research at the University of Tennessee. She's on the line from Knoxville. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Are these trends that really should be the writing on the wall for all tobacco farmers, even in places like Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina?
Yes, we've seen an uptick in the number of growers that have seen decreased poundage in their contracts or have been eliminated completely. And kind of like you mentioned, people, there's been a decline in the per capita smoking rate, so people just aren't smoking as much. The demand has declined, as well as some other things that have brought some uncertainty into the industry with the FDA regulation. Some of the companies are a little bit wary about buying a lot of tobacco until they see how this FDA regulation is going to affect their product.
And global demand hasn't sort of compensated for changes here in the U.S.?
No, we're actually seeing trends in some of the other developed countries, such as in Europe, that they're also going through the same kind of bans on smoking and trying to encourage people to quit.
So, Kellyanne Perkins, your farm is in Owenton, Kentucky, right?
Yes, sir.
And what's Owenton like? I mean, what would I see if I came down there besides tobacco farms?
It's a rural area. Cattle, very nice, country place to live. It's not remote. We're within three major cities within an hour. It's a very nice place to live.
I'm sure you call it God's country, like a lot of people do in Kentucky, Tennessee, and in the tobacco-growing centers of the United States. Beautiful country. But a lot of people in the United States would say your misfortune really represents progress in public health for getting people to quit smoking. What do you say to that?
Well, my thing is, and I'm not a scientist, but I believe if you looked at the way the tobacco is processed, it's not the tobacco that's making people sick. It's the chemicals in it, and that's not something we've done. I'm also not a history person, but if you look at history, tobacco is one of the seven things that changed this country as far as economics. I mean, it's been around for a long time, and all of a sudden it's the root of all evil. And I can stand next to somebody smoking a cigarette and walk away if I want to, but if I meet somebody driving down the road drinking, I don't know if they're drinking or not, and they hit me, now I can't get away from that, but nobody ever says anything about it.
Well,
I agree. I don't want my children to smoke. I'm not encouraging it. And I understand what's going on with the downsizing and all the problems that the tobacco companies have had in the lawsuits. Our concern is that there was no warning. We did not receive any. We knew they might downsize and we knew they might cut contracts, but when you're making top dollar and you're bringing them a good crop of tobacco, kind of hard to think that all of a sudden you're going to walk in and somebody tell you you're not needed anymore.
And the warning, even though you may have seen these trends in the change in tobacco sort of fortunes as far as health is concerned, you got no specific warning on your contract being canceled from Philip Morris.
No.
Well, let's
you do a good job. You and somebody in your area doesn't. You know somebody's got to go. What do you say?
Sure. Well, what do we lose? I mean, without getting into a whole smoking, anti-smoking debate, what do we lose culturally in your part of the world if the tobacco farmer, the auctions, the whole thing goes away?
It was a way of life. I mean, this is the first year we've never raised tobacco. It's something my husband's grown up doing. He knows it, he understands it, and he takes pride in it. And that's what a lot of farmers, that's their problem. They take pride in something, and they're good, hard workers, and then you get something like this done to you. It's kind of devastating. Well, and I don't expect, like I said, I'm not blaming anybody. I kind of can understand the why of it. It's the how they did it.
Of course, there's beans, there's other crops.
Well, there is, but you got to have the kind of ground, and we've got the kind of clay ground that grows tobacco. You got to have a certain. Every ground doesn't just grow everything, and then when you have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment to do that specifically for that, what do you do with it? And there again, that's another problem that these farmers are seeing. They've got equipment that nobody's going to buy, and then a lot of people take off your hands. But, you know, what do we do with it? If we'd have had some kind of inclination a year or so ago, we could have maybe made some different arrangements. But now we're here. The only thing that's changed about our situation is our income. We still have 3 kids in college. We still have farm payments. Everything else must go on. And now we've got no time. We've got to regroup right now.
All right.
And to figure that out.
Well, Kellyanne Perkins has been farming tobacco for 35 years. Her contract was canceled. Her family's contract was canceled by Philip Morris. Won't be putting in a crop this month and facing, there as you hear, all those financial challenges as a result. Jane Starnes works at the Center for Tobacco Grower Research at the University of Tennessee, talking about the sort of bitter reality for tobacco farmers as declining smoking rates means a decline in demand for tobacco. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.